This is Wandering in the Word. We spend some time in the scripture readings for the coming weekend worship service, just noticing, exploring, and appreciating the richness of the passages. We're glad you've joined us to wander in the Word this week.
This is Wandering in the Word for Sunday, June 20th, which is not only the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, but is also Father's Day. And to help us talk about all of that, we have a special guest with us who is Pastor Kathy Nygaard, serving in Granville and Norwich, right?
Yep.
We are delighted to have you with us, Pastor Kathy. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us. So, Pastor Kathy, for the sake of everyone joining us, would you share a little bit about where you have come from and where you're at now, what you're doing at your congregations?
Okay. I serve the good people of First Lutheran Church in Granville and Norwich Lutheran Church. I am a second career pastor, so this is my first call. I've been there for about 6 years now. So,
where were you born and raised?
I'm a North Dakota girl.
Woohoo!
spent a lot of years working as a social worker in the field of treatment foster care. And now I do this.
And now you do this pastor thing.
I hang out with my friends and we
record podcasts.
Talk about Bibles.
All these things we learned about in seminary, right?
Yeah.
How to do podcasts. Well, we're going to talk about the lectionary texts that everyone will be hearing this Sunday, the 20th, in worship, or at least most people will be. And so our first reading today is probably a pretty familiar story to most of us. It might even come up in vacation Bible school curriculums. You never know. But it's Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Pastor Kathy, would you mind reading that for us?
All right. So, starting at 35. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was dead calm. Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
All right. So yes, a story we know, but kind of an interesting one.
Very much so. I think one thing we could point out is that these people in the boats were fishermen. Like, right, there were fishermen among Jesus' disciples. Yeah. And so I would imagine they had seen some pretty terrible weather in their lifetime and over the course of their careers. But this storm was absolutely terrifying. This was the one where they're like, "We're going to die."
Yeah, we're perishing.
Right, because it's not like they were out, like cruising around the countryside, fishing at different places. This is the Sea of Galilee. This is what they know, right? They're familiar with this place.
And they're just going across from one point to another. You know what I mean? They weren't hanging out. So I don't know, maybe this storm came up really fast, but it's total chaos.
I got to go on a trip to the Holy Land when I was in seminary, and in the middle of the night, you hear this whooshing sound. It's like, oh, we should check and see what that is. And the palm trees are bent in half and the waves are crashing on the shore and there's white caps on the Sea of Galilee. And I was like, oh yeah, this is how this happens.
This is Mark chapter 4.
Yeah.
This is folding before our eyes.
This is how a storm rises up and they're unprepared, right?
So it can happen. It can happen pretty quick then.
Yeah.
Okay. And it says that it's in the evening. Mm-hmm. Verse 35, on that day, when evening had come, Jesus said, "Let's go across to the other side."
And on that day is referring to what had happened earlier in the day, which was what we talked about last week. Yeah. And Jesus spent like all day telling parables and talking about mustard seeds and
seeds and sowers, so like, and gardening. And
yeah, he's at the end of a work day.
Yeah.
Right.
So
he is tired.
Go.
Obviously, because he's sleeping through the whole thing on a cushion.
Isn't that interesting, you know, that we have a God who sleeps, you know, Jesus in his humanity does this thing that we all need as well, which is like to rest. And it just happens that he's resting during a huge, massive storm.
Yeah. I mean, the story is kind of, I mean, I resonate. I flock to the words, peace, be still, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus says these words and the lake or the sea goes from, you know, this choppy white caps to like, what does it say? A dead calm. Dead calm, which almost.
That's almost freakier than a storm.
That's a little creepy. Isn't
it?
That would be creepy as well, but it happens. And I mean, I love that idea, peace be still. But Jesus like rebukes not just the sea, but he rebukes his like disciples who are with him. He said to them, why were you afraid? Have you no faith? And I mean, it seems like a pretty natural response that if your boat is flooding, you might panic.
Right.
Rather than just sit there and go, oh no, I have faith. It seems weird.
And it's early enough too in the gospel that you might still be like, faith in what? Like, based on what? Like they just don't know a lot about Jesus at this point.
And I'm sure it wasn't their first line of defense to wake Jesus up.
Yeah, they were probably pulling the mast down or doing whatever they do to shore up the boat. And Jesus obviously didn't care because he's just sleeping. Isn't it one of the other gospels where they're like, why are you asleep? Or how could you sleep through this? There's some reference to that idea that, like, Jesus, for crying out loud, the boat's flooding. Like
chaos is raining.
You're floating around on the bottom of the boat. How are you not awake?
And then the reaction. You know, once this happens, they've been rebuked. They were filled with great awe. And then they started voicing this question that I bet was all the more like awe-inspiring and scary because I think they were starting to have a hunch who this was. Like, what if this is God in our boat?
Who is this?
Right.
Can even the wind and the sea obey him?
Right, because Mark's moving at breakneck speed. We're still only in the fourth chapter here, they're starting to figure it out that maybe he's not just a really good teacher and a healer, right?
That's true. Yeah, he went from teaching about seeds and all these great things that didn't fully make sense to like telling the wind to chill out and it listens.
Right.
I would be in awe. I think great awe, going, who is this?
Yeah, their minds were just blown. Right. Yeah. And the wind and the sea obey him.
And then we the ancient understanding was kind of that evil resided in the sea, the chaos of the sea.
Yeah.
Was the residence of evil or the devil or whatever that concept was.
It's chaos.
But that Jesus, this guy sleeping
on a cushion.
he can control that. He has power over that.
Power even greater.
Kind of this amazement that comes.
So. Yeah, and this is kind of an interesting connection then. We can move to our Old Testament reading then, which is in Job. There's a connection here with God's control, God controlling the water and the weather and the creation. And having authority over that as well. So would you mind reading our Job text?
So this is the 38th chapter of Job. And my little heading on the Bible says, the Lord answers Job.
Ah, yes.
Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have an understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stopped.
Oh, it's so poetic, like a great very poetic imagery. That's my first takeaway. Like, oh, the stars are singing and
right,
clouds are a garment and thick darkness was the swaddling band of the sea that had burst out from the womb. I was just like,
yeah,
oh, God is a poet.
Yeah. Cool. Very true. Yeah.
But yeah, now we're in the 38th chapter because Job is sort of a long book. And through the whole book of Job is Job sort of wrestling with this, his reality, which is that he's a righteous man, like not deserving all of the suffering that he has just recently endured when his, you know, his house crashed down on his kids and his herds were all stolen. Like everything that could go wrong goes wrong. He even has like a skin infection and he's in really tough shape. So he spends all this time like kind of railing against God. And finally we get to hear from God. And what's the response to all of that?
Yeah. And it's interesting because it goes on. I mean, I think it starts in 38th, God's response. And it's kind of over and over again, this theme of like, I control creation. And there's even a line I was reading this earlier in chapter 41. Can you draw out the Leviathan with a fish hook or press down its tongue with a cord? And the Leviathan is like Loch Ness monster, right? It's like
a monster.
It's chaos. It's like evil. It's like, can you
something huge? Can you catch this with a piece of corn?
Yeah. It's not a walleye, you know, it's like a monster fish. And can you take care of that? Can you control it? No? Oh, okay. Well, then leave the God thing to me.
Yeah, that is basically the response that God gives to. Ultimately, we don't get to read all of it here, but yeah, God's saying, you know, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Like, you don't even know what you're talking about, he says to Job.
Yeah, and that kind of provides a tension then, I think, because like, and this is just a story, that it is kind of modeled, a fable. It's kind of modeled after kind of like Greek mythology, because it starts with Satan and God making a bet, basically, and then Job then having to endure all of this to see if God would win the bet, which God does, because Job remains faithful even through all of it. But we still, I think, have the freedom to, God invites us in the midst of our suffering to cry out.
Yeah.
It's not a like, just buck up, you know, I'll fix everything with peace, saying peace be still. Sometimes that happens, but there's like, no, I don't know. There's a tension between that, like God having all the power and control, and yet we still have suffering. Then why?
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's I mean, theologians and Christians and people of all religions have really struggled with this notion.
Fourth graders at Vacation Bible School.
Fourth graders at Vacation Bible School.
Struggling, right? Like, if we are all God's children, why do we die?
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it's every day it's stump the pastor.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, that sounds fun. I got some good theological questions from kids. Absolutely.
Right. So, it's not just, seminary trained theologians that, ask these questions, right? We all wonder these things.
Which I think is the value of Job through all of these generations and millennia.
Yeah.
Is, you know, that, and Job does wonder and he asks and he cries out, and none of that is counted against him as like being unfaithful.
Right.
That is still engaging with God. It's still honoring the relationship, even when you're upset.
Right.
So I feel like that's gotta be something that, you know, we can hold on to when our own lives get a little icky.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And in Job, there is, I think, in these last, so we he's gone through all the suffering, and where we're at now in 38 is like the conclusion of the story. And there is a conversation that goes back and forth between Job and God. So there is like relationship still there.
Yeah.
And despite that God can control the sea, like we hear in Jesus' story and in these poetic words, God's still like, God says God's peace, and then Job gets to reply, and then God speaks back, and obviously God wins the argument, but it's relational. I mean, there's a conversation going on. So there is still, I think, an invitation to that crying out, and to, you know, you don't have to buck it up and just get over it when you're grieving or there's something going on. Like,
There's a question that's kind of the same in both of these readings, which I just noticed at the end of Mark. It says, who then is this? And in chapter, in verse 2 of Job, it says, who is this? Like, that maybe that's part of being in relationship with someone, is continuing to ask that question and to look beyond what we think we know of someone, mm-hmm. and to be, to sort of approach other people with a sense of wonder and like trying to understand them and, mm-hmm. you know, relate even more closely.
Right.
Who is this?
I mean, could you imagine approaching a political conversation with that question rather than how can I prove that this person's dumb and wrong, mm-hmm. but going like, well, who is this? Like, where, right. where is this person
right.
coming from? How do they form?
What's their experience?
What's their experience? What's caused them to think and believe and act the way they do?
Right.
You know, who is this? That's a great question. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a
right. With a curiosity as opposed to a, you know, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Not There's that kind
great
of
great Office episode where Michael Scott does that. That's way off track. But anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
Well, I want to hear about the Office.
Yeah. That seems like it might be a good place for us to go.
Not as fruitful as what you were going for, I'm sure. But yeah. Who do you think you are?
Yeah. That's a great question though. I mean, I kind of like that as kind of a thread that ties these together.
Right.
In the midst of hard questions.
Right. Who is this? And, what power do they have? Is when we talk about God and when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about other people, who is this and what do they bring to this circumstance and this situation, right?
Yeah. Well, I think back to like our theme where we're talking about prayer. Mm-hmm. During Lent and things, you know, that idea of listening.
Yeah.
Who is this? Well,
right.
Listening and that listening for God, listening to each other, it's relationship, it's community, mm-hmm. It's a back and forth. So, yeah. Well, that really makes me think. I like that question a lot. So, with that, then any closing thoughts then for us as we wander in the word here?
No, I'm going to keep on thinking it over and we'll come. Are you preaching this weekend?
I preach every weekend.
Join me, a soul pastor. All right. We'll have to compare notes later on sermon topics.
But
I think this has been a great conversation. So thanks for
Pastor Kathy.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And we're glad that you could join us, whether it's on Facebook or our podcast. I'm here at First Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota, in our weekly Wandering in the Word. We look forward to having you join us next week for the conversation on June 27th's text. So until then, we'll talk to you all later. Take care.
Bye.